From Luke 13, beginning with verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, "Go, get away from here, because Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will complete my work. However, it's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.'" Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you didn't want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until that time comes when you say blessings on the one who comes in the Lord's name." And from Philippians 3, beginning with 17. "Brothers and sisters, become imitators of me and watch those who live this way. You can use them as models. As I have told you many times and now say with deep sadness, many people live as enemies of the cross. Their lives end with destruction. Their God is their stomach, and they take pride in their disgrace because their thoughts focus on earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven. We look forward to a Savior that comes from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform our humble bodies so that we are like his glorious body, by the power that also makes him able to subject all things to himself." Friends, all this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word and for your love, for your call upon our lives. Help us, Lord, to listen. Help us to listen for that clear voice of the Spirit, that voice that rises from the quietness, that voice that rises from the pages of your word, that voice that reaches out to us to strengthen us, to equip us to live effectively for you. Bless us in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry about that. James writes in James 1, beginning with 21. "Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and welcome the word planted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you. You must be doers of the word, not only hearers who mislead themselves." They who put it into practice in their lives will be blessed in whatever they do. As we read the scripture from Luke this morning, something is very clear, and other things are not. And what is not clear is what was the motive behind what the Pharisees are saying to Jesus? Were they generally concerned for his welfare, wanting him to be safe, or were they just wanting him to be somewhere else, you know, away from this area? Get away. Herod is looking for, if I were you, I'd get out of here big time. But one thing that is clear is that Jesus was not motivated by fear, and he was not deterred by threats. He was leaving town. He was on the way somewhere, but it had nothing to do with Herod's threats or the fears or manipulations, attempts of the Pharisees. It had to do with completing his mission. It had to be in fulfilling the will of the Father, that he was heading for Jerusalem. But one thing that he makes clear is that I'm not going to Jerusalem to run. I'm going there to meet my destiny. I am going to die. But it's not going to be at the hands of Herod. And I'm going along the way to do all of the good that I can do. It says that I'm going to continue to do these things and to meet these needs as I move along the way until the time that I cannot physically be present to do them any longer. Along with the cross that he knew he awaited him, he also faced rejection. And he knew that that rejection would come at the very hands of the ones who should most readily recognize him. And yet, for one reason or another, could not or would not. They were like those persons of whom Paul wrote, those who were at cross purposes with the will of God, those who were following after their own desires, who were trying to live for all that this world could offer them without thought of their eternity, without thought of their immortal soul. They were willing to sell out. They were willing to do whatever just for the comfort of this world. A temptation that Satan had tried to lure Jesus to do. We see the sadness of God. We see a sadness in Jesus' words. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, you've stoned the prophets, killed the prophets, you've stoned those who've been sent to you. As he speaks on behalf of God, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her babes under her wings, and you would not. You wouldn't go along with that. The world offers competing voices to Jesus. The world offers competing voices to the will of God. James reminds us that if we're going to work our way through those competing voices, we need to be grounded in the Word. We need to learn how to hear. We need to learn how to hear what God is saying to us and to have the courage to walk the path that He sets before us. Paul reminds us that the path that God sets before us in Christ Jesus is a glorious path. It's one of joy. It's not one of sadness. It's not one of defeatism. That it's one in which we see the hand of God at work and we find strength to live the lives that He calls us to live. And we can have that rather than the hollowness and the shallowness that the world offers and that the ways of the world tell us repeatedly are the way to go, to sell out, to take the easy way rather than the challenges of living for Christ. Both Paul and Jesus say, listen up. And they echo the words of the prophets that there is one who offers what the world cannot offer. A glorious present that extends into eternity, with the presence of Christ with us to sustain us and to minister to us. In our Lenten study, we have been reading Bob Grossman's Committed to Christ. And in the lesson for this week on this past Wednesday and this evening, it is on the discipline of reading the scriptures and that the difference that makes in how we live our lives and the difference that makes on how we are equipped and how we become more committed to Christ Jesus. In the scriptures that He uses for tonight, comes from this passage from James and the reminder that we are not just to be hearers of the word. We are to be doers. We aren't just to listen lightly, but we are to really listen. And if we really listen, we're going to be acting upon what we see and what we understand God to be saying to us. We're going to be examining the scriptures, seeking God's word, God's plan for us. That I assure you, even as James assures you, will leap from those pages and will give us guidance and direction. I'm not sure how many here are giving up something for Lent. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask who is or who isn't. But I would remind you of one thing, and that is that each of us are called to give up something. No, it's not to give up chocolate or to give up eating meat. It's not to give up certain things, even though those are good disciplines. But to give up ourselves, to give the rights to our own life to the Lord, to follow in obedience and in faithfulness to the one who loves us, who calls us, and desires to equip us to live this life to which we are called. Paul would remind us that we are called to be a part of the body of Christ. We are to bring each of our individual gifts, and all of our individual talents, our individual possessions, and all of these things, and to remind us that we are to use them for the good of all, and that each would be strengthened and equipped and empowered and blessed of God. Christ Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, urges us to take his yoke upon us. Leonard Sweet reminds us that those early yokes were generally shaped like a cross, and that that is what Christ wants to do with us. He wants to walk beside us. As Barclay reminds us, that quite often a young ox, an inexperienced one, was paired with an older, more experienced one to help mentor them and help them through the ropes and to find that where they could be most effectively and not face the whip or other things that they may otherwise receive. We're reminded that Christ walks with us, but Paul also tells us that God also gives us others to walk beside us, to walk with us. And Paul urged them to imitate him and to imitate others who are in turn imitating Christ Jesus, that the focus has to primarily be on Christ. But that indeed there are those who help us to make the right choices, to help us make the right decisions, who serve as role models of faith and faithfulness to encourage us to move closer to the Lord. Listen up. James says we are to walk the walk as well as to talk the talk. We're to be doers, not just hearers. We are to be people of action, even as Christ acted all the way to the cross, with eyes fixed not on himself, but on others. We come to the question, how fully are you committed to Christ? Our Lenten study calls us to that commitment. James calls us. Paul calls us. The Lord Jesus calls us. John Wesley gave us some tools for doing this, and some of those are lifted by Grossman as we use the spiritual disciplines that God has given us to draw nearer, to find strength. And James says the most important that we can do is to immerse ourselves in God's Word and to listen for the voice of God to give us the guidance, the plan by which we are called to live our lives. Wesley would remind us that we are to be accountable. And indeed, we find that same measure within the Scriptures, within James, within the Gospels, within the letters of Paul, in reminding us that we are constantly called to draw nearer. one of the saddest things that we could face would be that we would come out from the last three quarters of this Lenten season that are still with us without being changed. If we come out unchanged, how sad that would be. Because if we're not growing, we're regressing. We are called to stretch. We are called to experience even more of God's fullness, to draw nearer to Him. James warns us of the disconnect between hearing and doing. Christ, as He thinks of Jerusalem, mourns for what He sees as destruction, the loss that these people are going to face as they continue this path of disobedience and unfaithfulness. Paul speaks of the sadness that he feels because of those who live as enemies of the cross rather than seeking to follow the will of God and the walk that God has them to walk. We are called to not just live in the here and now, but to remember that we are citizens of heaven, that we have a dual citizenship, yes, but even more, our hearts, our lives must be beyond the here and now. And so they remind us, listen up, that God is calling as God has always called. Do you hear? Do you really hear? Then do. Act on what you know, on what God's word reveals. Do something. Do something now. Gracious Lord, we thank You for Your call upon us. Lord, we look at Jesus and we find the love that He had for us, the love that He has for those who walk away, who choose the wrong path, and continues to call. Of a Paul who lives with the sadness that there are those who are being lost, those who are turning away and following their own lusts and desires, their own appetites, rather than following Your plan for their lives. That we are not being immersed in Your word, not taking advantage of the disciplines that You set before us, that we may grow into the persons that You call us and desire to equip us to be. Help us to do that, O Lord. Help us to come forth on the other side of this Lenten season as a people who have drawn nearer and are drawing nearer daily to our Savior. and our Lord. We pray in his holy and precious name.